We'll open up to a couple of places. One of them is Genesis 1. We can find that pretty easy. The other one is, look at Psalms 115, verse 16, just for a minute. We've been talking about, started off with the place called Dun, and then we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and talking about dominion, and they're all interconnected for revival. And like Dave has said so many times, if we're going to go somewhere that few have ever been, we're going to have to do some things that few have ever done. But we're also going to have to understand some things that has been little understood in all these centuries. The first century understood them. And let me just say this right now. Everybody knows this, but it's just good to say it again. There is no new truth. There is no new truth. We're discovering what is truth? It's already truth. It's been truth the whole time. Now we're going to look at this maybe a little bit today, but you know the Bible talks about when you got born again, you were delivered from the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of light. Now there's a lot of things you could say about that, but one thing you can say, you know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When somebody receives truth that they didn't know before, we say, well, they were enlightened. They were enlightened, you know. Darkness, deception. The enemy rules. His primary tool is deception. Well, there is no new truth. Thank God we've understood enough of the truth to get born again. You glad about that? I'm thankful I've received enough of the truth to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Speaking with other tongues, thank you very much. Glory to God, thank you, Jesus. I mean, there was a time when I was in the dark about that. I had been taught deception. I had been taught lies from the pulpit by men who proclaimed to be the mouth of God. Scary stuff. I'm grateful for the truth that set me free from a lot of physical addictions. I'm glad that I'm not still taking the heart medication for the, quote, uncurable heart disease that I had. I mean, the best intellect, in you know, the best, you know, doctors, and they were telling me, yes, sir, they were telling me from the pinnacle of darkness what they perceived as truth. This condition is incurable. You'll have it all the rest of your life. And you have to take this medicine to regulate it. Trouble is, that medicine, one of the side effects of... This is not anything on the notes. He's already taken over. You might as well know that. Trouble is, one of the side effects of that medicine that I supposedly was going to have to take the rest of my life, it accelerates arthritis. At my age, I don't need anything accelerating arthritis. You understand me? I'm fighting against arthritis. But they told me plain. I mean, and if you, what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to be the intellect of man trained to the pinnacle of knowledge in the world of darkness is still darkness. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And a baby in the kingdom of light has more knowledge than the doctors of darkness. I knew what they said, but I had been enlightened enough to know that all things are possible to him that believes. Now I did something foolish. I tried to force God into manifesting my healing. And it's not that he was withholding my healing. I'll just say it like it was. What I did is I threw away my medicine. You ever hear anybody? I got in a prayer line. The power of God hit me so strong, I slid right up underneath, close to where the seat where Mary is right there. My head was underneath one of those chairs. I mean, just Dave prayed and kapowie, specifically for my heart. At that time, I was taking that medicine a lot. I mean, I forget, several doses a day. It was real strong. And the power of God hit me. And within the past week or two, a man had been, a visiting person had been here and telling his testimony and how God healed him and he threw away his medicine. So I said, well, boy, the power of God hit me. God, if he threw away his medicine, he was healed. I'm going to throw away my medicine. I'm healed. I liked it when Alan's not here right now, but Alan says one of the first things he has to train people. You know, for years he was at Norval Hayes' Bible College in Cleveland, Tennessee. He says, I had to train our people not to let the new ones stomp on their glasses. I believe I'm healed. I don't need these anymore. And they throw down their glasses and stomp on them. Trouble is, Bible students don't have any money and they couldn't afford any new glasses. And here they are to study the Bible and read, and they can't read because they don't have any glasses. So he had to train everybody. If you see them about to do that, you stop them. Save their glasses. Well, I threw away that medicine. Bless God, I'm healed. Now get this. Mental assent is not faith. Faith does not come out of the mind. Decisions can come out of the mind. But faith comes out of the heart. Well, I threw away my medicine, bless God. 7 days later, I nearly died. Scared Sue, smooth. I mean, scared us both bad. And I was totally perplexed. I didn't know what to think about that. So I got in to see Dave and just told him what I just told you. Now get this. He says, Gary, an action in the natural does not guarantee a reaction in the spiritual. But an action in the spirit, a spiritual, will always produce a reaction in the natural. I said, okay, that, I'm like you, that's good. What does that mean? In a practical way, what does that mean? Here's what he told me. He says, you need to get your, you know, get a new prescription, start taking your medicine. He says, you need to work on the part of you that doesn't believe. Because if you did believe, if you did believe, you'd be free. So he says, go ahead and take the medicine. God put all these things in the earth to help us, you know. He says, go ahead and take your medicine. But he says, work on the part of you that doesn't believe. Work on the spirit man. Work on that part. Quit trying to force a reaction out of God. He's already on your side. It's you that doesn't believe. So what he meant by that is, so I did. I got a new prescription. But what I started doing then was I got out those healing scriptures. And every day as I'd take that medicine even, I'd say, Lord, you bless my bread, you bless my water, and you take sickness away from the midst of me. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I was healed. Just on and on and on, I would confess the word of God, and I'm working on the part of me that does not believe until it does believe. See, I had just enough truth. I had just enough light to know there is a possibility for me to walk free of this, even though the world and the highest educated men in the world and good men that are trying to help me, they're telling me there's no hope, and I'm telling you there is hope. And I'm working on the part of me that doesn't yet possess the land. I can see when you're in the hope stage, you're seeing the land. You haven't possessed it yet. You got to walk it the length and the breadth and the height. You got to go to war then to possess that land. Now what? I never would have guessed how the Lord did this. But after a few months of doing that, one day the voice of the Lord just came to me as clear and plain as you're hearing my voice right now. And he said, I want you to skip every third dose. Begin skipping every third dose of that medicine. So I worked that out in my mind, how to do that arrangement, and I began skipping every third dose. That went on for several months. One day, just in the course of my prayer time, I know where I was. I was mowing the lawn. But I have my regular prayer time, but it doesn't always speak to you right then, you know. Just as clear as if he walked up, put his hand on my shoulder, which I don't think he did, but it just that real. He says, now I want you to start skipping every other dose. Long story short, over a period of 2 years, little by little by little, he weaned me off of that medicine. And I took the last dose of it in May of 1998. This is May of 2006. And I've never, ever had another dose of that medicine. And I've never, ever had another symptom of the heart problem. Not once in all these years. There is a kingdom of darkness that operates in deception. And there is a kingdom of light that operates in what God calls truth, which is truth. Now, there is no new truth. All we're doing is rediscovering the truth that already exists. Is that good? You're dismissed now. Is that good? Was that good? I mean, that'd be sufficient right there. Now, what I want to talk... Got on my Sunday. I don't want to go down my seat today. Okay. Let's talk about the invisible kingdom. See, there's an invisible kingdom where God lives. God the Father I'm talking about. Yes, sir. Just do it this way. He already lived there before the earth was. You know, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. So somewhere he existed before there was a heavens. Now, our brain right about here starts, you think about this too much, like Dave says, your brain starts leaking right out your left ear. You know, you say, what? Yeah, well, how long ago was he? Well, you go back before anything was. You add all the zeros that there is after that number, and he was there before that. With equally the number of zeros. And then before that. Your brain just, you just can't really. But we do know, since he created the heavens and the earth, then he created his own domain, because he existed before there was a domain that was created. See, there it goes again. Ow, my left ear, ow. But God created a dwelling place, and we call it heaven, where he lived. He created all these angels. You know, the devil had fallen before our world had a beginning. Dave has taught on that many times. The devil had already fallen before our creation, before our world ever was. In the beginning, before there was a beginning that we know anything of a beginning about, the devil had already, he was already a liar from the beginning. From the beginning of what? Not the beginning of God. Before the beginning of our creation. You don't think I pay attention? Pay attention. Glory to God. Well, God decided. Now, God lived in this world, what you call it, the realm of the spirit. And what we, the record that we have here in Genesis 1 is in, and again, now from here, I'm going to have to use somewhat of a parable form, but it's the best I can do for the way we think. Let's say it like this. All right, he's satisfied. He's always self-sufficient. He's living in this heavenly realm, this realm of the spirit. He has all these angels he's created. He's, you know, but something in him says, I want to create another realm. I'm going to call it the visible realm. He creates from the realm of what we would say is invisible, the realm of the spirit. He creates this earth. In what we would call the realm of the seen, the realm of the visible. It's almost like he's saying, I'm going to expand my kingdom. I'm going to expand my realm. I'm going to create, I have this whole realm in this unseen world. I'm going to create a seen world. Again, I'm using a parable, okay, trying to get our minds to where we can think of this. I'm going to create this earth, and you can go through Genesis 1, how he, you know, he made the dry land, he made the seas, he made everything, the fish and the animals and all of this, you know. And, you know, he could have said, this is really nice and I'm going to rule this planet myself. I really like this planet. I'm just going to rule it myself. He says, no, what I'm going to do, I'm going to rule it all right. But I'm going to rule it from the unseen realm. I'm going to extend my dominion, my authority, my power, into the seen realm. How am I going to do that? I'm going to create a man. I'm going to create a species called man. Male and female, he created them. So he's talking about mankind. I'm going to create a species. I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of them. And their spirit, made in my likeness, will be the conduit from the unseen world to the seen world. Through their spirit, I will be able to communicate with them and bring my will in the unseen realm to the seen realm. And when they know my will and act on it, then I'm going to delegate this unseen Holy Spirit, because He bridges both worlds. And whatever they say, that's according to my will, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And by that process, my kingdom is expanded now from an invisible world to a visible world. And how that kingdom comes to the visible world is through the spirits of man. Now the Bible says, Selah. Pause and meditate reflectively on that for a while, you know. That was God's original plan. His kingdom was to rule this earth through the conduit of the human spirit that was made in His likeness. By that I mean that's how we would know what to do. That's how we would know His will. He put His same likeness, a spirit of the same kind, made in the image of God, right on the inside of us. And through that spirit, we have communication from God the Father, so that His will can be accomplished in the seen realm through the power of the Holy Ghost whenever man speaks or acts. Now, just so, again, you're in Genesis 1, right? Let's just read our verses again, 26, 27, 28. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now, again, if I have to receive this truth, that I, as a hairy-legged man, am the bride of Christ, then you women have to receive this truth. You are our Son of God. Male and female created He them. Mankind. Mankind. He's talking, you women are just as much an heir, just as much a son of God with the rights of the firstborn. The reason I say that is because He made you a joint heir with Him. You got the same inheritance as us males out there. Glory to God. Right on the other hand, I have all the privileges of a wife, meaning I have a husband to support me. How's your left ear? Think about these kind of things, you know. Your brain starts leaking right out your left ear. Psalms. Did I tell you to turn to Psalms 115? I did? Well, turn there if you haven't already. I hear pages turning, so some of you did. And some, I don't know. Oh, while you're turning, I'll finish reading verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." I should have had you look at this, but you know it's there. Genesis 1:26, again, when He's giving these instructions, He says, "And let them." He did not say to the Holy Spirit, "And let us have dominion." He said, "Let them have dominion." Now, why is that so critical? Well, we get a hint here in Psalms 115, verse 16. It says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men." What? I thought God was sovereign. I thought God was making all the decisions. I thought that car wreck, that was God's idea. And He was teaching me something. I thought that cancer, I thought that came to humble me and teach me something. I thought God was making all these decisions. Listen, God is sovereign. God could have set this up. Again, there is no new truth. God could have set this up any way He wanted to. The sovereign God chose sovereignly. Is that good? The sovereign God chose sovereignly. I want man to have dominion over the earth. That's why prayer is so important. That's why what happens on this planet, you might as well quit blaming God. Amen. And you really might as well quit blaming the devil, because he's been defeated.
Thank you.
And you might as well quit blaming Mark or Marinelle. You might want to look in the mirror, because God has given dominion to you. But I seem so powerless, and it's not my fault, Brother Gary. It's not my fault, Brother Gary. Then whose is it? Well, I mean, are you going to blame God? No. At least not here. Excuse me. Not while I'm talking to you, not while I'm in church, but in my heart I do all the time. Well, you're not going to blame God? No, I'm going to blame the devil. It's the devil. Well, I know. I understand. I know. When did his name get above Jesus' name? See, all things are possible to those who just kind of half-heartedly agree with it. Now, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, that word believing has a lot to do with what you believe is truth. See, knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This lady gave her testimony at the Wednesday night service. She was raised... You know that verse in Isaiah 54 where it says, "Blessed, O barren, blessed, O barren." They took that out of context and actually taught her that it was more blessed not to have children. And for years, as long as she believed that, her and her husband couldn't have children. They never could have them. They were in a camp meeting, and Norval Hayes was one of the speakers. In one of those services, kapow, truth come into her. She got into a line. 9 months later, her son was born. Now see, you go, her physical body changed. What changed it? Truth. The power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What happens on planet Earth is man's fault. And ultimately, beyond that, it's the believer's fault. Because we've been delivered out of that kingdom of darkness. We have the capacity to understand. We are children of the light, and we have the capacity to understand truth. Yet we've allowed ourselves to be trained by religion, which is the enemy's number one tool, to keep you in the dark. Should I quit now? The earth has He given to the sons of men. Why did Jesus say, blessed are the meek? The meek, you know, do y'all know the rest of that verse? For the meek shall inherit heaven. What? The meek shall inherit the what? The earth. Now, I'm all for going to heaven. I guarantee you, I don't want to go to hell. I am for going to heaven. You might as well know this if you don't already know it. I mean, the church puts so much emphasis on heaven. At most, you're just going to be there till the end of the tribulation. You're going to come back to earth, honey. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And God's going to come to earth and dwell with you here. You're not going there. Man is made for earth and to have dominion over the earth. And that's, you can have a temporary stay in heaven. I know that's where my grandpa is and my grandma is, and I know that's where they are right now. But honey, they're not going to live there for eternity. They're going to live on a new earth for eternity. The church has got so heavenly minded, we don't even think about dominion on earth. Jesus came to announce the kingdom of God. The good news is not that you can go to heaven. That's good news, but that's not really His message. The message is, I have regained the kingdom of God so man can have dominion over the earth. Well, what do you mean by that? That seems nebulous and strange. You don't think I know words, but I do. I just don't act like it. I are educated. We don't know what you mean by that. It must be some strange theological thing that only hermeneuticals can understand, you know. He says, well, just in case you didn't get that, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Blind, I have good news for you. You don't have to stay blind anymore. Lame, I have good news for you. On and on he goes. And poor, I got good news for you. The kingdom of God is at hand, meaning it is available now. And at that moment, what God calls the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament, foreshadowing what was coming. This is the acceptable time of the Lord. All debts, the sin debt, has been paid. All debts are paid. Every man returns to his original inheritance. What was man's original inheritance? The earth and the meek, those who are teachable, those who are willing to be taught, those who are willing to look beyond this realm of darkness into a realm of light. If you'll listen to me, you're going to re-inherit the kingdom on this earth that God originally intended for man to have. Glory to God. Is that good stuff or what? Now I want to draw a picture for you that the Word draws. Go to Mark 9 again. I know this is really where he got me started on this time. It's like I'd never read it before, even though I've read it many, 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 many times. Y'all know this story really well. I'm going to start reading it again here. Verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, Oh, here it is. Before I read this, you know, I mean, the way we want it to read, but I really appreciate your faith and your faith level and bring, at least you had enough faith to bring your son here. And I appreciate you disciples of mine trying to cure the boy and cast the devil. I really appreciate that. You did good. Pat, pat, pat. We're about to meet the real Jesus, who does not like unbelief. He doesn't like it at all. What does he say to him? Oh, faithless. That used to just drive me up the wall because I didn't understand the things that we're talking about today in these last few weeks. I'm going, man, that seems harsh. For the gentle lamb who loves us and laid down his life for me. And oftentimes he would do like that. How is it that you have no faith? It just seemed kind of harsh. There wasn't any kind of an attaboy in there at all. You know, just none. Even though they prayed and all the faith they had, and I'm sure they shouted and jumped and used the name and did whatever they knew to do, and still it didn't work. And, you know, I would think at least there'd be a little attaboy in there somewhere. Just no attaboy at all. And finally it dawned on me, he says, well, you guys think I'm lying to you? I have been telling you that the kingdom of God is available. You don't have to put up with these works of darkness anymore. Faith believes Jesus' report. And he'd go, in essence, they're calling him a liar. Not through their words, but through their unbelief. When he says, oh, faithless, he's saying, don't you believe? I am the messenger of the covenant. I have come from heaven. I'm the only one that's ever been there. I am telling you the truth. There is a kingdom. You can't see it. But he didn't really explain all this to him, but we know it now. He's going, my spirit is the conduit between heaven and earth. Let's say it this way, between the invisible realm and the visible. My spirit, my Father works through this conduit on the inside of me. The life that I have in me is from him. And the Holy Spirit is here to anoint what I say. But your faith is involved in it. Let's just read it here. It's in the same passage. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. That devil was trying to manifest, trying to affect what Jesus believes by what he sees. He'd already done that to the 12, or however many was there, 9, I think, at that time. It affected what they saw, what they wallowed. Listen, when they're having those prayer lines, when they wallow and foam on the ground, no. When they wallow on the ground and foam at the mouth, don't tell me that doesn't affect you. Yeah. Now, we'll get to the place where it doesn't. Okay? But, hey, those kind of things affect you. God gave us these 5 physical senses for a reason. If you see that the bus is coming, have enough sense not to step in front of the bus. That's why God gave us the 5 physical senses. Okay? But when they tell you that this is impossible, something is impossible, your 5 senses, they tell you that it's impossible, that's when you can't rely on your 5 physical senses anymore. Now you've got to rely on the realm of truth. That's where faith comes in. Can you believe this? He's taking me back now to that. Okay, my son. With my own heart. That's why he started it off with this. I could still be on that medicine. And I could still be preaching. But I would sure be helping the devil in the sense of feeding my body something that accelerates arthritis. It's just a lot better to be free. Now, I'm about to say something, and I'm prefacing this. I get lots of letters like what I'm about to say. So please don't be offended or don't think I'm picking on you, whoever it is. This may sound like your letter. Honey, I get lots of letters like that. Okay? And what I'm trying to do is bring you into the arena of hope. I get letters like this all the time. It could be from a father like this one. This father has this son. We could read on there. You know the story. Jesus asked him, how long has he been this way? From the time he's a little boy, a little child. Well, I get letters all the time. And the reason for this could be many different things. Could be birth defect. Could be hereditary type disease passed down in the family. Could be somebody lost a leg in a car wreck. Could be lost an eye in Iraq, could be anything. But the letter goes something like this. Well, my son, my daughter, my child has this problem. Could be a disease, could be a birth defect, could be anything. And the doctors have given, there's no hope, there's nothing medically that can be done. So, they're always going to be dependent on me for the rest of their life, in the sense of I'm going to have to provide services for them. I'm going to have to provide help for them. And so agree with me, please, for finances to do that. And I always do. Because it depends on the level of fellowship and trust that I have with them. But those are some of the most hopeless letters that I receive. Now, in their mind, they're being wise and a good parent and trying to think about the future of their child, who may be 25, okay? They're trying to think about it. But at the same time, see, and they're trying to be what the world would call responsible. And I'm not against that. We should be responsible. Let's do all of that. And at the same time, say this. I know it does not have to stay this way. There is a kingdom. I have a promise from God. I understand that my child does not have to stay like he or she is. In other words, agree with me for this temporary situation while I am possessing this promised land for my child. My child will walk again. My child will see again. My child will be free of this disease. But normally it's not anything like that. They have been educated to the pinnacle of darkness. And they're being responsible according to the kingdom of darkness's system. But they absolutely have been blinded to the kingdom of light. And at this point, they see no hope. I could have been like that. I could have just received this is the way it is. This is an incurable heart disease. It's going to be with me the rest of my life. If I don't take this medicine, then, you know, I could just die at any time. So the best thing to do is just take the medicine and suffer the consequences of the arthritis and whatever, you know. I could do that. God would bless me all he could. Trouble is, why do that when I don't have to? I don't have to. Loopy, you don't have to, girl. See, you're going to come out of this situation. She knows that. See, now there's a... Loopy was in an auto accident, wearing a neck brace. Don't take it off, honey. But she already knows this is just a temporary situation. She's going to be just better than you, aren't you, Loopy? Better than you. And quickly, too. There is an invisible kingdom that even the church world really knows very little about. Now, let's stay in Mark 9 here for a minute because we want to do another visual demonstration in a way. Verse 21, Jesus asked the Father, how long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes, in other words, the Father has lived with this his whole life. Oftentimes, it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, if you can do anything, Jesus, have compassion on us and help us. Now, boy, the issue is not whether he can do anything. The issue is, can you believe? Because he comes right on there and he says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Lewis Twist and Rick, I need you up here again. We're going to do our demonstration one more time. Lewis, come on up here. And stand on this side. You first. Rick, get up. Point this way. Look towards that direction. Here's, for benefit of the tape, I'm doing my best to describe a visual demonstration. Mary, since you're right here, would you mind being the child? This is the person that needs healing. Now, I'm going to try and describe for you that's only got tape. We're drawing a center line right down the center of the building here. On one side represents the kingdom of light. This is the invisible world. This is where God the Father and originally God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all there. Okay? All right? Over on the other side of the auditorium represents this kingdom of darkness. And Mary Corbett is sitting in this chair representing anybody, really, who needs to be healed. In this case, it would be this epileptic boy. Okay? Now, Jesus is the only messenger of the covenant who has lived and been in the invisible realm. He was manifested in flesh and came over into the visible realm. For benefit of the tape, I have moved Rick. He's representing originally he was the pre-incarnate Christ in heaven in the invisible realm with God. But he's the one, we've moved him to the other side of the auditorium now, over into the manifested reality realm, the visible realm. He is the messenger of the covenant. And his message is, the kingdom of God is available to you. And I'm going to represent this father who brought my child. And I'm going, all I've ever seen is my child falls into the water. My child falls into the fire. We've taken her to the best doctors. I even brought her to your own disciples, and they prayed. They did everything they could. It really looks impossible to me now. If you can do anything, please help us. Boy, now here's Jesus, the messenger of the covenant. And he's going, if you can believe, and I'm talking to me, if I'm this father. Here is the only vessel, the only human vessel on planet Earth in this whole manifested realm of darkness. There is one vessel of light, and it's Jesus. And he's going, the spirit that's in me, the conduit, has been reestablished from heaven to earth. And if you can believe it, walk up here. Now Lewis is walking up, and he's going to reach his arms right through Jesus and touch Mary. Come on over here. Through Jesus, through that conduit, now the Father reaches, and he can reach Mary. And Mary rises up healed. The invisible kingdom rules the visible world. How does it do it? By faith. By faith. That's why Jesus didn't give any attaboys. It's not faith till it works. Until then, you're just working on the part of you that believes. Thank you. Give them a hand. Does that help? The message is, there is an invisible kingdom that you can't see. But it reaches and rules into this world, but it does it by faith and no other way. And all the religion in the world won't get you there. All the good works in the world won't get it done. Faith gets it done. Nothing else does. Got to work on the part of you that believes. This is what Dave meant when he says, an action in the spirit realm. Working on the part of you that believes will always produce. Once faith comes, it always produces a reaction in the physical world. Again, I have to say this. Jesus is not trying to believe this gospel with us. That's why he doesn't give us any attaboys. It took me forever to get that. He's dealing from the place called done. This is established truth with him. And he's going, can't you believe the message that I brought? How is it that you don't... When he says, how is it you have no faith? He might as well say, why won't you boys believe me? Why won't you believe that you have a Father God who will do anything for you if you believe it? He gave this earth to you. Religion keeps telling you you're just a slimy dog worm with no authority. I'm telling you, you're kings in the kingdom. Now, that was all positional truth at that moment, but it was all going to become theirs at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Go ahead and turn to Luke 17 just for a minute. I just want to cry, you know, what religion has done. Good intentions. Something the Lord said to me years and years and years ago. Human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for my compassion. We pet unbelief in ourselves and in others because we don't want to hurt them. They're already hurting. So our remedy is to just love them and attaboy them and speak nice words over their grave. Jesus says he wouldn't be nice to me either. He'd say to me, same he said to them. I'm not looking at Jack for any reason. Say the same to me, he'd say to them. How is it that you have no faith? My prayer is changing. My prayer is something like this now. Don't be nice to me, Lord. Tell me straight. If I'm faithless, tell me that. Talk to me like you talk to them. But get me from where I am to where you are. That phrase, where I am, there will my servant be also. And I know one place he is at the place called done. And I'm tired of trying to believe this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm pressing. I mean, as long as the war takes, but I am so wanting to be there. And that's our revival. That's the revival. When I say our, the part that we're going to participate in, it's his revival. You understand what I'm saying? Did I tell you to turn anywhere? Did I? Okay, good. Start and look at verse 20 and 21. It says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Here he's been preaching for 3 years. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is available. But because they couldn't see a physical kingdom, what they had in mind was a kingdom like Rome. Okay, you know, that kind of a kingdom. They're asking when the kingdom of God should come. He answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, it's here, or lo, it's there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, I've heard that from the time I was a little boy. But only recently has it dawned on me, that's the way God set it up with the first man, Adam. God set up his kingdom to be ruled. Earth was to be ruled through the spirit of man. Let's say it this way. Before the fall, as long as Adam is in fellowship with his father, wherever Adam would go, could you say it this way? The kingdom of God would go. Because whatever Adam did or said or spoke before the fall would have been the will of the Father, because he was in perfect harmony with the Father. Does this sound like anybody to you? Does this sound like the Lord Jesus to you? I don't do anything of my own. Whatever I do, whatever I say, it's my Father. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. I used to think there was a little Father running around on the inside of Jesus. I used to think there was a little Jesus running around on the inside of me. Thank God for the born-again trail. Now I'm understanding what all Jesus was saying is that the kingdom of God is operating now like he originally intended through the first man, Adam. The Father ruled from the invisible realm to the visible realm through the conduit of the spirit of the first man, Adam. Now he's doing it through the last man, Adam. They didn't know who he was, but Jesus is the last man, Adam. And he says, now the Father, I'm in perfect harmony with him. Everything I do, because I see him doing it or hear him say it. So once more now, the Father his kingdom is coming to earth, his rulership, from the unseen kingdom to the seen kingdom. That's happening through my spirit. It's the Father in me. That's doing these works because I'm in perfect harmony. And when I speak, I have been given that same dominion. Actually, Jesus received more than the first man, Adam. First man, Adam, never had authority in heaven. But Jesus said, all dominion, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Glory to God. To this Adam, God the Father has handed the keys of heaven. He never gave that to the first man. That's another lesson. Now, say it with me. The kingdom of God is within me. Wherever I go, God's kingdom rules from the invisible realm to the visible realm through me. Well, isn't that how it was for the first man, Adam, before the fall? have dominion. But first God placed His Spirit in the man. And that Spirit was the conduit, the information flow. How would Adam know? Through that Spirit. Amen? Through that nature, could we say? So how did God rule the visible realm from the invisible? Through the Spirit of man. And even then it was by the anointing, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now see, that's why again, when Adam fell, it's not that God just as a penalty, God didn't take away the dominion. He really doesn't, because God doesn't alter the thing that goes out of His mouth. See? The only way God could ever reassign that authority to somebody else was if the first Adam died. Yes, sir. One little step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. The first statement I said, God didn't withdraw the dominion. He's like, okay, that's it for you. I'm taking my dominion back. Now, the reason that Adam lost his dominion is nature changed. The conduit got closed. The spirit of man changed. Wasn't made in the image of God. It's still in the image, all right, but it's perverted. Okay? It's become, when sin entered into the world, and then death by sin, Adam's nature changed. And that conduit got blocked. The fellowship, the relationship was not like it was before. And the Holy Spirit, again, in the same way that we see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus, now I see Him lifting off like a dove from the first man, Adam. He can't anoint that which is not made in the image of God. That power, that dominion was lost. Let's say it this way, though. And again, this is so important for where we're going. Adam didn't lose heaven. He never had dominion there in the first place. Adam lost a kingdom. A kingdom called earth. Jesus came to reestablish that kingdom to man by once more making it possible for God's Spirit, the conduit, to be placed back in us through which God can work and exercise that dominion in the earth. Now, the actual power is by the Holy Ghost. Don't ever get those two things mixed up. The spirit, nature, whatever you want to call it, that Jesus was conceived with in the womb of Mary, He was righteous from the get-go. Jesus did not have to get born again. He was already born with that new nature. He's the only one in all those centuries, all those thousands of years. But He Himself never did any miracle, even though He had the exact image of God. That's why God, with the first man, Adam, even though He'd already breathed, even though He breathed the breath of life into Adam, He still had to say, let them have dominion. And the Holy Spirit was the one that empowered that dominion. Well, with the last man, Adam, Christ, for 30, however many years it was before He was baptized by John, He had the nature of God on the inside of Him, but He never did any miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon Him. Only then did He have that dominion, that kingdom dominion, to enforce the Father's will on planet Earth. Now, a few thoughts. We're getting running out of time here. Just a few thoughts. The King, say it once more. Where I go, the kingdom of God is within me. Everywhere I go, the Father God can do His will. Upon planet Earth. It is the Father in me that doeth the works by the power of the Holy Ghost. My spirit is the conduit between heaven and earth, between the visible realm and the invisible realm. I have the capacity to know the will of my Father. What I speak The Holy Spirit does.
The Holy Spirit does.
You better get used to thinking like that. That is revival right there. That is revival right there. Now, just a few other thoughts. Look at Luke 11. You're in Luke, right? Go over to 11:20. I only got a couple of minutes here. Now, even though Jesus would say, "It is the Father in me that doeth the works," he said, "There for a little while, I thought that the Father was actually working through the new nature." And in a way, He is. Now, remember, all of us, our brain leaks out our left ear here, okay? The idea is we get this working, okay? But for a while, I thought it was actually the new nature that was doing the miracles. But it's not. Even though Jesus phrases it sometimes, and He says, "It's the Father in me." That's where I was thinking that. But now watch this. He gets very precise in this one. He cast out these devils. The religious folks accusing Him of doing it by the power of devils, by Beelzebub. And notice what He says, Luke 11:20. "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." With the finger of God. Another place He says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's equating the Holy Spirit with the finger of God. The hand of God, if you'll allow me. Goes right back to Genesis again. Here's God the Father in heaven, in the invisible realm. At that time, God the Son, the pre-incarnate Christ, was in heaven in the invisible realm. Only one member of the Godhead was over in this, what we would call the physical realm. So we have God the Father who conceives light. God the Son, the Word, who speaks, "Let there be light," or "light be." But then you have the Holy Spirit. He was the one hovering, brooding over the face of the deep. And when he heard those words, "Let there be light," He is the one. He's like the hand, the finger of God. I call Him the molecule changer. He's actually the molecule maker. Light be. Light was, man. Amen. So when that conduit, that nature on the inside of us is like the conduit. It's the hose. It's where all the fellowship comes. It's where we understand what it is the Father wants to do. But then when we speak, we are the agent of authority. But the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. It's like when we speak, the Holy Spirit is the hand of God that actually does the work. We got that part? Say, I am part of two worlds. I live in the visible kingdom. But I bring the invisible kingdom. In Jesus' name. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah.